Hey there, everybody, and welcome once again to the John Henry Show. It is indeed 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am here with you, John Henry from johnhenry.us. I hope you are all having a great evening or afternoon, whatever the case may be. We are here again today. We are going to talk about some of the usual subjects, propaganda and distortion and manipulation that happens through the mass media. We've got some particular examples that we're going to talk about today and discuss some more of that, maybe give you some more tools to push back against it or to see through it. First, though, I want to talk about the death today of NASA mathematician Katherine Johnson. Katherine Johnson was a mathematician at NASA, obviously an incredibly accomplished scientist. She was an African-American woman, and up until very, very recently, in the very recent past, her contributions to science were completely ignored, as is so often the case when we look at our history with women and minorities, and especially when you combine the two. This woman, she referred to herself and her fellow female, mathematicians there at NASA. They were actually called computers. That was the job description when she started. She referred to them as computers who wore skirts. These women calculated launch and return trajectories for multiple missions. Ms. Johnson was part of everything from Apollo to the space shuttle, and then some just grossly overlooked. She was one of the early adapters to computer calculation. And in the early days of NASA, the women weren't even allowed to put their names on the reports and the information that they were kicking out, right? It would be this group of women, often minority women, and they were all working under white male managers. And so when they got done with a report, the white male manager's name would go on it. It was a long uphill battle, and she was a very much unsung hero for a lot of years. And so I wanted to take a moment at the top of the show and just give her some credit where it is due, because she did a lot of good for a lot of people, and it will likely be another 100 years before we really understand how powerful and important her contributions were to the science of astronomy and of flying rocket ships and launching space shuttles and building stations and all that good stuff. So rest in peace, Ms. Johnson, Dr. Johnson. I don't know if she was held a doctorate or not. But in any event, she certainly should have, from the sounds of it. I mean, again, calculating trajectories for rockets, I can't balance my checkbook. And this woman is doing all these complex calculations and figuring out how to, you know, hit a planetoid or a moon, thousands of miles into space from an Earth launch. So just absolutely outstanding and incredible skills. And unfortunately, she was very much sold short by her peers for decades and decades. So it's good to know that she did finally get some recognition, but it wasn't enough. And hopefully, over time, the historical record will be corrected. And I just think it's a damn shame that that wasn't handled while she was still alive. So moving into the meat of the show here, as you know, my specialties are, communication, propaganda, political science, understanding how we're lied to and how we're manipulated and how we're feeding disinformation. And boy, has this been a week for it. Let me tell you what. The first thing I want to touch on, We have the situation where there's been a couple of Mike Bloomberg's campaign offices around the country have been vandalized. I think one may have had a rock thrown through a window or something like that. There was another one, somebody posted a sign out in front of it that said, "Eat the rich." And the increasingly limited number of Bloomberg supporters on my friends list and available in my feed on social media are just, they're all up in arms. "Oh my God, I can't believe these Bernie supporters, blah, 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 blah." Look, I want to be nice. I want to be polite. I'm getting really fed up with this shit. Okay, this is obvious. And the people that are passing this around, some of these people I know, and I know they're smarter than this. Okay, Bernie Sanders office in Seattle had a rock thrown through a window a couple days ago. Bernie Sanders is not out conducting press conferences and having all of his acolytes and followers spread these rumors around the internet how it was Mike Bloomberg's fault, okay? And I don't think it was Mike Bloomberg's fault. I don't think it was Bernie Sanders' fault or his supporters for the incidents that happened at the Bloomberg offices. I think it shames me and embarrasses me that I even have to explain this, okay? The idea is to get people angry at each other. The idea is to get people angry at each other. The idea is not to attack Bloomberg. The idea is not to attack Sanders. The idea is to get people angry at each other because they want the left in this country fragmented and split in different directions so that when everything comes down and boils down, we've got one candidate on the ballot going against Donald Trump, there's not enough people who aren't pissed off to go in and vote and get rid of this orange fascist prick that is occupying our White House. Okay? That is the game. That is the game. And the people that are sharing this stuff and pushing this idea that somehow these Bernie supporters are all aggressive and blah, 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 and they're starting fights and being misogynist and talking bad things about women and breaking with bullshit. And you know better. You're embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing me. And it's time to stop. We have got to quit playing games and get serious here. We are all adults, okay? I have understood these games since I was a teenager. When I was in middle school, I checked out a book from the library called The Book of Lists. And I want to say it might have been the second or third Book of Lists at that point. But, you know, even then I was reading things about COINTELPRO and the fact that the National Security Agency, listens to, through recording, all international phone calls. This stuff was going on 45, 50 years ago. And every time it comes up now in 2020, we act like it's new information. Like, oh my goodness, I just can't believe they're doing that. Balls. You know better. And we have got to stop this game. I don't know when and where it became popular and cool to pretend that you're stupid just so that you can continue to rationalize supporting the unsupportable. It's not. Okay? There's nothing cool about being stupid, and there's certainly nothing cool about being deliberately stupid. Willful ignorance is not awesome. And we are running out of time. We have played this game for my whole life with people going out there and trying to stand up and act like they don't see what's going on around them just because it doesn't reflect well on their favorite political candidate or their favorite talking point. And it has to stop. Our country is under attack. Our White House is occupied by fascists. Our Congress, our Senate is occupied in the majority by fascists. Our judiciary is being overtaken by fascists. We have white nationalists infiltrating the military and the police forces all over the country. This has been going on for years. There have been stories in the mainstream media about this for years. And we continue to just plug our blah, blah, blah. I can't hear blah, 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 blah. I really love my country, but I don't want to do anything about making it and keeping it a country that's worth living in. And I am running out of patience. And that's just the name of that. We've got this, of course, there's always the socialism. Oh my God, everything is socialism. Everything. This internet wouldn't exist without socialism. Your roads wouldn't exist without socialism. The military is socialism. The police service is socialism. Libraries are socialism. Your health insurance is capitalist socialism. Okay? Everybody pools their resources and then everybody gets what they need. It's that simple. Okay? It's not about centralized control. That's Stalinism. That's a whole different conversation. And you know it. And you know that the Nazis weren't socialists. And it is ridiculous that I have to explain these things out loud. When are we going to get serious? I have been sitting here since I was in my early teens, going, look what they're doing to the education system. Look how they're breaking it down. Look how they're destroying this and leaving us so that we don't even have the tools to think and talk about this stuff. We can't even have a conversation with each other about what's going on because we haven't been properly taught how to, we don't know the words. We don't understand the concepts. Here it is, almost 100 years after the Nazi Party was founded. And that one little bit of propaganda using that one little word socialism was so effective that the country that beat the Nazis is still buying into it. How absolutely embarrassing. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves for continuing to buy into this crap. And I am ashamed of us for continuing to buy into this crap. And I'm sure the Russians are, you know, the Russian government and Putin and all of his buddies over there, I'm sure they're enjoying this. But that's beside the point. I doubt very seriously that they're involved in any serious way. And I doubt very seriously that they were involved in any meaningful way in the 2016 election. You want to know where the bullshit in this country is coming from? Look at where Lee Atwater came from. Who was he working for? Right? Lee Atwater was the Republican strategist who did the phone campaign in South Carolina in 2000 when John McCain was running against George Bush. This guy would call up white families in South Carolina and spread the rumor that John McCain had a black illegitimate daughter. That's the games that people are playing now. And it is absolutely disgusting that we're not smart enough to see through it. And I think we are smart enough to see through it, which makes it even more disgusting because that means some of us are pretending not to know better just so that we can continue to pat our little ego. Well, my candidate has to be the one, even if my candidate is proven completely useless. My candidate has to be the one. I can't win the argument. My ego is going to get in the way. Your ego is going to kill this fucking country, Jack. It is time to snap out of it. We're snap into it, yeah. Anyway, so we've got the attacks that are going on the political offices with Bloomberg and with Sanders. The Bernie Bros narrative is, of course, resurfaced and is continuing to be beat into the ground. There's another one going around about, Bernie Sanders is going to implement a 52% income tax rate on everybody making over 20. Bullshit. This stuff is so easy to check. It takes 2 seconds in Google to debunk that crap. We have got to break this ridiculous habit of just allowing anybody who blows smoke up our ass to have all of our attention. We reward them. We share their little memes. And we share their cutesy pie little cartoons and their little bumper sticker slogans. And in the meanwhile, we've still got 8 billion people with no health care. We've still got 500 million people sleeping on the streets. We've still at a $7.35 or $7.25 an hour federal minimum wage that we've been at for 30 years. And everybody says, well, what we need to do is work together to find a compromise solution that can be implemented over a lot. Bullshit. Bullshit. People are dying. People are dying because we are sitting on our hands and clutching our pearls, trying to maintain decorum, allowing ourselves to be beat about the head and shoulders with the baseball bat of civility. Oh, you have to have manners. You have to be polite. Oh, you can't get too aggressive. Civility, demands for civility are the weapon that oppressors use to silence the oppressed when they stand up against their oppression. That's what a demand for civility is. Okay, all this nonsense about can't we all just get along? Can't we find common ground? We're going to agree to disagree. Let's get something straight, folks. There's a whole bunch of people out there that want my bisexual daughter dead because she's bisexual. There are a whole bunch of people out there that want my 3 foster nieces and nephews dead or to live in abject misery because they're part African American. No, I don't have common ground with that, and I'm not obligated to find it. I am standing on the moral high ground. If you want common ground with me, you need to abandon your bullshit, stop being an ignorant bigot, and come join the evolution. So yeah, I'm a little angry and I'm a little fired up tonight. This is just, good Lord, man. And of course, you know, Facebook refuses to do it. I ran across a page today Right, something about white people didn't come from Africa, blah, blah, blah. I reported it. It's hate speech. It's bullshit. It's white pride horse shit. I reported to Facebook, that, well, this doesn't violate our community standards. Hey, Zuckerberg, I'm part of your community and it violates my standards. But boy, let me say one time the truth about somebody who's paying them for advertising. And it's a 30-day ban. Right? I'm running the risk of being, you know, censured by YouTube just talking about this stuff. Because they'll come in and say, oh, that's hate speech. You're encouraging Baba. Horseshit. I'm not encouraging anything except for people who hate and who want to hurt other people to go to hell and leave. Get out. If you don't want to participate in the human race, check out. I'm tired of dragging your ass. This is bloody ridiculous. All it is divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer, and we keep falling for it. Why? Because you don't want to pay an extra, not even extra, right? This the universal healthcare thing, great example. Oh my God, it's socialism! I saw this the other day, hilarious. Well, universal healthcare is going to take away my choices. Okay, so you have a system where you're paying thousands of dollars a year for inadequate access to a limited selection of doctors, and every single prescription you have has to be checked and double checked by an insurance company to make sure that they're going to profit from it before they'll allow you to have it. That's freedom of choice. But if I walk in with a Medicaid card, get my pills, see my doctor, and get what I need and leave, somehow I'm being robbed of my choice? Are you insane? Have we lost our minds? I'm sorry. I know that, you know, I'm supposed to be Mr. Talking Head sitting here on the TV and we're all, let's be stayed, well composed. Well, bullshit. I don't play that game. I have emotions and I have powerful feelings about what's going on in this country and about the way my fellow Americans are treated by other of my fellow Americans. And I don't have to be polite about that. And if you expect me to be polite under the threat of not being taken seriously, there's the door, Jack. Back to Cobain, right? If you're a homophobe, if you're a bigot, if you think it's cute or funny to hit women, I don't want you watching my show. I don't need your likes. I don't need your contributions. I will sit homeless on the side of the road with nothing but a borrowed Obama phone and do this show before I sit here and kowtow to bigots and liars and fascists. It's bad enough when you clowns have destroyed my life and made things so difficult for me because I refuse to sit down and kiss ass. And I wasn't built for that. That's bad enough, but that's just me. That's just me and a few other people. Now it's millions. Now it's our whole way of life under threat. And we still want to keep playing this game. Oh, Bernie Sanders is a socialist. You idiot. God, this makes me angry. Angry enough to say God. I'm an atheist. Where in the hell do people get off? This is bloody ridiculous. There is one candidate right now in this race. One candidate in this race, and he is the only candidate in my lifetime to stand up, who has the record, who has the integrity, who has stuck to purpose throughout my life. And everybody wants to find an excuse. Oh, well, he's not popular. Of course, he just won the first three popular votes in the primaries. First time in history a candidate's done that, but he doesn't have the support. He's a fringe candidate. And all his supporters are whining fringers. Right? There's another MSNBC. Holy shit, these people. Wow. Wow. Chris Matthews with the Nazi analogies? Twice? Right? That's like twice in a week that MSNBC has compared the campaign of a Jewish man whose parents died in concentration camps to Nazis. And we're putting up with this shit. Why? How dare we be so ignorant and arrogant and full of ourselves? How dare we be so cowardly and sniveling to not be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and simply say, you know what? I've been wrong. And I've been wrong for a long time. I've got a commenter here that is laying some history on us about the progress of the Nazi Party in Germany, which I'm aware of. You know, the purging of the communists and the socialists and the Democrats and the Jews, of course, ultimately, and it was basically everybody but the Catholic Church, and I think they nailed them by the time it was all said and done. The same thing is going on right now. Donald Trump was acquitted 2 weeks ago. And he is off the rails. He is absolutely off the rails. When his national security advisors come to him and say Russia is interfering in our elections, he fires the advisors. Why are we not in the streets? Why are we not marching? Why are we not demanding accountability from our elected leaders? Wow. Excuse me. Even Rachel Maddow last week did a show. And you know, it's kind of funny because I posted it on my Facebook page. I'm like, oh, hey, look. People are finally catching on to what I've been saying for 2 years, that our nation is under attack by fascists. They are occupying our government. Finally, Rachel Maddow said that out loud. First person in the mainstream media to say that. And she said, to her credit, she said right out loud, we were wrong because we've been sitting here talking about what's coming and what's impending and what we have to worry about. And the whole time, it was here. She said that. I'm the guy who told you 2 years ago it was here. I'm the guy who told you 4 years ago it was coming. I'm the guy that told you 35 years ago it was coming. And every time I post something on my page that somebody doesn't like, it's, oh, well, you know, now all of a sudden I have even fewer people watching my stuff. Now I even have even fewer people listening to what I've got to say, right? Because they don't like it. I lost another friend yesterday, right? Some of you might be aware, and I mentioned this before, I put my first article up on Medium, medium.com, a few days ago, and let me pull this up just so I don't screw up the verbiage here. So this article, the title of the article was The Rise of the Unruly Woman. Okay. And it centered a little bit, you know, it kind of took the cue from Elizabeth Warren's performance in last week's debate, because she was quite aggressive and unapologetically so. But the article itself was more about the idea that here you have, you know, women are rising up and they're done with this whole idea that they have to be this, you know, they've got to massage the egos of men in order to be heard. They're finished with that shit. You know, and we're seeing these women who are, you know, deliberately using their sexuality, right? The female group who walks around topless with their breasts hanging out, or the band Pussy Riot in Russia, right? They're literally now using their sexual parts and the parts of them that are sexualized as weapons against those who sexualize them. And man, that's so powerful and it's so awesome. So I write this article a few days ago. I think it published it Friday or something. And it goes out, right? So the first thing that happens, I post a link to it to the big page that I mentioned that I manage. I'm one of the admins on Facebook of I Love to Wake Up in the Morning when Barack Obama was president. I post a link to it, and immediately, right, somebody comes in and says, "Well, all you're doing is praising Elizabeth Warren, but you still won't vote for her." No, I wasn't, you know, like, oh, you just love her and you just say she's so great. No, that's not what I said. Right? I said, awesome. I liked her debate performance and I like the bigger thing that shows us. Right? But now all of a sudden we're going to warp that narrative. Oh, well, you're just going to not vote for her because she's a woman. Horseshit. I'm not going to vote for her because the candidate that I want to win is in the race and leading. I don't need to make that compromise. Has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman. Right? And so I'm having that conversation with somebody else. Now, this person has known me for like 10 years. Right? Been following me around for 10 years. Watched me go on and on and on about gender equality and how important it is to teach our young girls to come up and hold their power and take their power and use their power and refuse to back down and refuse to be pushed around by men. And she's watched me talk about this for 10 years. And I say, you know what? I would have exactly the same problems with Elizabeth Warren that I've got that if she was a male candidate, right? If you know, whatever, it's not even important to attach a name to it or whatever. But here's my problems with Elizabeth Warren. She has compromised her values on multiple occasions, even after campaigning on those values. Things like, oh, well, we're so proud that we're not taking that big corporate money. And then here last week, she just did a total 180 on that. Nobody notices. Right? She goes out and says, well, you know, we've got to play the game. No, you don't. Sanders isn't playing the game. Right? Did the same thing with healthcare. Did the same thing. She's not consistent. Okay? Not only is she not consistent, but she plays political games. She's constantly chasing that. She's following the polls all the time. Right? It's the old Marley Matlin in an episode of The West Wing had an anecdote that's pretty well known about, you know, the French king that sees the crowd of people moving in one direction and asks, you know, where are they going? And his aide says, well, I don't know. And the king says, well, find out where they're going so I can lead them. And to me, that is Elizabeth Warren. Now, I will say that Warren is my second place choice. Is a distant second, but she's my second place choice. She at least, you know, has the awareness to make enough noise about the issues that matter to me. You know, she'll at least make the effort to have these words sometimes come out of her mouth. My problem is that oftentimes when she says something I really like, a couple of months later, she backs down from it, right? Like universal healthcare. Like universal, I think she did the same thing with universal higher education. I may be wrong about that. I'm not going to research it in the middle of a show, but, you know, these are my issues, right, with this candidate. And so I've got this ex-friend, right, going on and on about blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, you know, my issues with Elizabeth Warren are ideological, political, they're policy-based, okay? I don't care if she's a shrill woman or she's aggressive or what. Awesome. I literally wrote an article 4 days ago going, hell yeah. I don't care about any of that stuff. What I care about is that as a politician, she waffles too much on core issues to me. Okay, that's why Bernie is my number one pick. And she's not, because she's not consistent and he is. Okay. So I say that. No, it doesn't matter to me. The fact that Elizabeth Warren is female doesn't change my attitude toward her one way or the other. I don't care. What I care about is, oh, well, I doubt that. This is a woman I have had private conversations with about these issues over and over and over again. And all of a sudden like that, she's turned on a dime. Like, who are you talking to? And this is the problem. This is the problem that we've got right now in this country. Everybody wants to play these stupid little trailer park lawyer games. Everybody wants to act like they're a lawyer. They're Perry Mason in the courtroom. They're going to whip out that last minute zinger that just changes the course of the whole case. And it gets the innocent man off and imprisons the right one and on and on. No. I realize it's awfully hard to believe, especially when I'm in this kind of a mood, I've got a sense of humor. I'm actually pretty laid back, you know? But when I've got people that have known me for 10 years who, simply because I don't support their candidate, are immediately, I mean immediately, just going to jump to, oh, well, it must be that you hate women. No. No, and you know better, and you should be ashamed of yourself, and so should anybody else who's acting like that. I have certainly earned the right to expect better treatment than that. I have commanded a higher level of respect than that. And it's, again, the same thing with this Bernie bro crap. I don't know why people keep buying into this. And I've had, you know, some friends that have explained it to me, and I still honestly don't understand why. I mean, just step back for a second and look at this. Here is a guy who, a candidate, whose entire platform is based on diversity and opening opportunity and trying to bring in as many people as we can. And he's been all about empowering women and minorities and other traditionally oppressed classes of people for 50 years. This guy has been all about, you know, justice and peace and progress and prosperity for everybody. And now all of a sudden I'm supposed to believe that he's attracting people who like to shout down women and hurt people? And I mean, you know, don't make any mistake about it, man. I can get aggressive, but that's not what I do. That's not what I want to do. And it's certainly not how I choose to conduct myself when it's not necessary. I don't have to get into some big hostility argument with somebody over the relative merits of Bernie Sanders as a candidate. All I have to do is point to his record. All I have to do is have a reasoned conversation based on facts and critical thinking. Right? That's not the people that his campaign is attracting. So why would anybody think that all of a sudden, when this stuff starts happening, it must be because of something he's doing and not because, oh, maybe there's somebody out there that wants me to think that. Just like right now, maybe there is somebody out there who wants to set the two leading candidates, or have been, right? Bloomberg is kind of moving up and down and in and out, but he's run a fairly strong second in a lot of polls. Now, if I'm a political strategist for Donald Trump, what am I thinking? I'm thinking, holy cow, if we don't do something to fragment this block of people, we're done. So what am I going to do? Go back to the COINTELPRO model, right? For those of you who aren't aware of it, COINTELPRO was an intelligence operation that was run, I always get them mixed up, whichever one of the intelligence agencies is domestic. I think it's the FBI. But it was run by an intelligence agency where they would place people inside of these radical groups like the SDS and the Black Panthers and so on and so forth. And their own agents, right? These agents would come in and put ideas out on the table and encourage people to commit these acts that nobody was suggesting before they showed up. And it ended up getting people killed. And it ended up hurting a lot of people because they wanted to take those groups off the table and they wanted to disempower those groups. And they come to find out when all the rubble settles, the people that were raising all the hell were the agents that went in to make them look bad. That's exactly what is happening right now. That's exactly what the Bernie bros are. There's nothing about Bernie Sanders that is appealing to some beer-swilling, coke-snorting, misogynist frat boy. Don't give me that shit. That guy's voting for Donald Trump. How are we not smart enough to see that? I think we are. I think we are smart enough to see that. And I think some of us are playing a disingenuous game of willful ignorance just because we don't want to lose an argument on the internet. You're getting ready to lose a whole hell of a lot more than an argument on the internet, folks. Because I'm telling you what, mark my words. If the DNC continues to play their game, and again, it's a little bit early. We're not there yet. I think Sanders is going to be the nomination. He seems to have the numbers. Let's assume for a minute that Sanders has the popular support going into the primary or going into the convention to justify that he should be the candidate. If the DNC screws him out of that again for another moderate centrist, not only will that moderate centrist lose to Donald Trump, but we have seen the end of the United States of America as we know it. Let me say that again. If we screw this up, this country is done. That's not a threat. It is a prediction based on data, based on information, based on what I understand about politics and political science and crowd psychology and mass communication. I'm getting a notification here that I've lost my connection. I don't know if it's true or not, but it seems to be reconnected now. So hopefully everything's good. You know, again, I really didn't plan on doing this show to sit here and scream at people and be all angry. That wasn't the point. But man, oh man, it's just, I'm so frustrated with this, man. I mean, this is Bernie Sanders is the candidate that I've been waiting for all my life. Okay, there's no question about that. Everything that he is saying and everything that he has stood for throughout his political career is exactly the same stuff that I have been saying for and I have been supporting and advancing throughout my own career. Okay, I don't have a political career because I'm a long hair with a bad attitude. Right? He's a little more polite than I am. He's a little more socially acceptable than I am. He's a little easier to have over to dinner. Especially with the family. And I'm a little rough and I'm a little nasty. And sometimes my mouth gets a little foul. But we've been saying the same things. Okay? This guy is the real deal. There has not been a political leader with this level of integrity and commitment to core principles in my lifetime. And yes, that includes Barack Obama. Now, it's not a slam on Obama. He was a hell of a lot better than anybody else that came before him. But Bernie's got him beat on the integrity department. Not only that, but Sanders' fundamental values have always been in that right place. Right? Barack Obama was a moderate centrist. A good man, an intelligent man, and a great president, but a moderate centrist. And I'm not a moderate centrist. I think what we need is radical change. I know what we need is radical change because I have watched my country go from the freest, most powerful, richest nation on earth to a diffuse and angry and intramurally contentious nation of unhealthy and uneducated people. Or, as I usually say, sick idiots. That's why I support universal health care. Because I don't want to live in a nation of sick people. That's not a strong country. That's why I support universal education. Because I don't want to live in a nation of idiots. That's not a strong country. That's not a free country. You can't be free if you don't know what freedom is. You can't be free if you're not smart enough to understand that it's just as easy for your corporate boss to oppress you as it is for the government. You can't be free if you can't even be bothered to think about political issues because you're too sick. You can't be free if you're trying to figure out how to juggle 3 minimum wage jobs and raise children. That's not freedom. That is your country being stolen from you, and it's been happening my whole life. I have been waiting for somebody like Sanders to show up. I was pushing for Sanders to run 20 years ago. when I first became aware of him and started reading some of the things he was doing and hearing what he was saying. I really seriously believe in that guy. Thank you very much for the act. One of my readers is telling me that my connection's good, so that's good to hear. To me, and I don't want to put this off like I think Bernie Sanders is some kind of messiah. Okay, he's a human being just like all the rest of us. I'm sure he's made mistakes. He's said a few things that I didn't care for or that I thought were ill-advised. But his values, man, he lives by them. He lives what he believes. He fights for what he believes. This guy was marching in the streets in, you know, Chicago and in Selma. This guy was standing up for the rights of African Americans during the civil rights era. He was standing up for the rights of women during the ERA movement era in the early 70s and mid 70s. He was standing up for the rights of the LGBT community in the early 80s when everybody else was like, oh my God, AIDS, 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 it's all homosexuals, oh, we're all gonna die. And here's Bernie Sanders speaking at a gay pride gathering. Before we even had such things. Because I'll tell you what, nobody in 1986 was talking about gay pride parades. But you had these little pockets here and there. And you go back and you look at the record, and there's Bernie Sanders standing at a podium. Why in the world do we not want to vote for this guy? What is so terrible about this? When you strip away the nonsense knee-jerk reactionism to the word socialism, and when you strip away all the contrived agitprop that is being directed against him, there's nothing. There's no argument against this guy. That's why they're going to this nonsense with throwing rocks through windows and blaming it on his supporters. That's why they're going to the Bernie Bros crap. That's why they keep, oh, well, he took his honeymoon in Russia in 1981 or whatever. Communist, communist, socialism, socialism. Oh, my God, it is so terrifying that we are so easily manipulated by this stuff. Let me give you a little history lesson, folks. All the way back when radio was invented, right? I don't even know how to pronounce his name, but Marconi, the Italian, invented the radio, and you had the Marconi Radio Company, which was operating in the United States and in Europe at the time, and we were coming into World War I, right? The United States government said, well, we can't have a foreign interest holding this technology that is critical to our success in this military conflict. And so they nationalized the Marconi Company. It became American Marconi. Okay. After the war, American Marconi was sold off and parted out to a division of the General Electric Company, who was already at that time a huge defense contractor. Right? And they had a subsidiary called the Radio Corporation of America. And the United States government gave them the patents and gave them the information and gave them what they needed to start radio broadcasting, commercial radio broadcasting in the United States. That's where radio started, from socialism. And throughout the history of telecommunications in this country, especially throughout the history of electronic telecommunications in this country, every step of the way has been propped up by the military, the government, and public money. All the way through until you get to the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Advanced Research Projects Agency. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, also known as DARPA. DARPA was where DARPANET came from. DARPANET was the forerunner of the internet. Literally, that is where Usenet and email came from before there was ever a World Wide Web. Tim Berners-Lee, when he invented the Transport Control Protocol and Internet Protocol, was working for CERN in Switzerland. CERN is a research facility that was built and funded by a multi-governmental coalition of European governments. Socialism. You would not be looking at me right now if it was not for socialism. You wouldn't have YouTube. You wouldn't have Gangnam Style. You wouldn't have Justin Bieber. So maybe there is a downside. And yet we're still just constantly on this hair trigger. Oh, it's socialism. Heavens to Murgatroyd. The socialism is coming to get us. No, man. You've been living it all your life. The fact that you have enough education to even be able to pronounce the word socialism is a direct result of socialism. Get over it. And all day long, we see this ridiculous Calvinist work ethic crap, right? Kids being shamed in school for not being able to afford lunch. Why the hell are we making kids pay for lunch? Why are we making anybody pay for school lunch? We got the money to pay for that. I don't care if you're rich or poor. Why are we making you pay for it? We've got the funds. And we've had that discussion too, and I'm not going to go off on modern monetary theory. I'm sure we'll get back to it, but for crying out loud, the money is there. And the resources are there. We're throwing away millions of tons of food every year, either into the garbage or we're paying farmers to let their crops go to seed and go to waste. Right? Thousands of tons of corn and soybeans just sitting in silos, unused, so that we can protect the prices. So that we can protect the capitalism of it. And in the meantime, people are starving. Half a million people in this country are homeless. And we've got six empty homes for every single one of them. Why can't we put the homeless people in some of the empty homes? Well, because that would reduce our profit margin by 18% of the market. Tough shit. And you know, believe it or not, I'm not a raging anti-capitalist. I don't have a problem with people making some money. I would certainly like to myself. I'd like to be comfortable. I'd like to drive a shiny, fast car. I'd like to have, you know, whatever, I'd like to be able to afford to go buy a bag of grass, for Christ's sakes. I don't have a problem with the idea of making money. I have the problem with the idea that anybody anywhere is worth $1 billion? $40 billion? What in the hell could Michael Bloomberg have ever possibly done to be worth that kind of money? Nothing except generating more money for other people who are also worth a lot of money. And that's where you get the little club, the 300 to 1,000 people in this country who own just about everything, including nearly all the media, including Facebook, including all three of the networks, including Fox, including CNN, including MSNBC, including Microsoft, including Google, whose platform I am broadcasting on right now. And somehow this small handful of people controls all of our information, and they keep us at each other's throats, and they keep us fighting each other over these petty, stupid irrelevancies and our ridiculous, fatuous egos. I am so, so tired of watching people die just so 420 Budman 69 doesn't have to be told that he's an idiot. And yeah, that's another one of those things, right? You go back to, you get these people that thought, well, you have participation trophies. Yeah, everybody's got to have a participation trophy. Where'd all this come from? Where that came from is the boomers, right? That came from not even the boomers, right? But it was them and their the generations that immediately followed. Right? It was the parents of these kids. It was the parents of these kids who couldn't deal with the fact that their precious little Muffy wasn't number one. Oh, but Chaz, he must get a trophy of some kind because he's the best. No, he's not the best. He sucks. Get him off the team. Let him find something else to do and stop pushing the kid around. Stop trying to push him into a profitable career. Let him find out what he actually likes to do. Everything about this country is completely corrupted and rotted right now by the chase for dollars and material wealth and the gratification of our egos. And I am telling y'all, it is time to wake up, and this is about your last call. This thing is right now coming down around our ears. And just because you can afford a hard hat does not mean you're gonna not be buried by the rubble. This is serious shit, folks. Where do you think the opiate crisis came from? Somebody trying to make a buck. And lying to do it. And getting away with lying to do it because they could afford to pay off the regulators. And now they're making a buck selling the cure. Same company, the Sackler family, right? They're the ones that invented OxyContin. Now they're also the ones that invent naloxone. Right? They own the company now that sells the cure for overdoses on opiates that they sold. They're still making money hand over fist, and we are dying in the streets. Because we don't want to have our feelings hurt. Because our egos can't deal with looking at ourselves in the mirror and going, oh my God, I got fooled. I didn't think about this clearly. We can't handle that conversation with ourselves. And it's killing us. It's got to stop, guys. It's got to stop, and it's got to stop now. Okay? And I'm sitting here, I am fortunate enough to have cultivated a pretty intelligent audience. I actually feel a degree of safety in talking like this to the people who follow me, to my fans. I always hate using that word in reference to myself, but I guess I better get used to it. Right? Reasonably smart people. People who aren't going to sit here and go, oh my God, I can't believe he's raising his voice at me. I'm done with this. No. No. Because I promise you, I've had much harder conversations with myself. And if you think I'm being hard on you, you ought to hear my internal voice when I'm dealing with my own shortcomings. This is beyond the pale. And we are dying from it. Our country is dying from it. We are destroying the future of this species. We are destroying the lives of our children. We are destroying the lives of our grandchildren for ego. So, I guess that is the show for today. I've got about 8 minutes to the hour, 7 minutes to the hour. Just again, a reminder, Katherine Johnson, now NASA mathematician, an African-American woman, passed away recently. Give her a thought. She deserves it because she was not thought about and she was deliberately hidden from us for decades. And she never did get the appreciation and the credit that she deserves. So spare her a thought and spare a thought for how that happened. And And like I said, I don't like to get all worked up like this. I just want to lay back, have a good time, try to teach people a few things about how to, read the news and understand what's being put in front of them. I don't want to sit here all pissed off. It's not good for my health. But I sure don't know what else I'm supposed to do to get through. Because it doesn't seem like anybody's listening. Or it doesn't seem like very many people are listening. For those of you who are able to deal with yourselves and who can handle having your ego questioned, the bottom of the screen, you've got the links to my Facebook page and the page that I manage, my Twitter, my PayPal, my Patreon. I would certainly appreciate any help that you can give. If you can spread the word, I would certainly appreciate it. Although I don't really expect this to be one of my more popular shows, but that's life. That's life, man. I sit here and I really do, I've still got that big hippie streak in me. I really want us to all just get along and have a good time and give each other a hug and sit around the campfire and sing songs and be happy. But that's awfully hard to do when half the people I'm sitting around the campfire with want me dead. I can't find common ground with that. I can't meet you halfway on you killing me. I can't meet you halfway on you killing my daughter and my friends, my gay friends, my black friends, my Latina friends. There is no halfway there. There is no compromise there. And if that hurts your feelings, then I guess you and your feelings are going to have to go somewhere else. And the group of people that has the strength of character and the intelligence and the compassion and the spine to look at themselves honestly, accept their fallibilities, and do what they can to correct them, especially when those fallibilities are inflicting harm on others. Those folks can hang out here with me. And together we're going to find our way forward. And we'll end up taking the rest of them with us. Kicking and screaming, just like it always happens. Question, am I going to edit this and republish later? I doubt that I'm going to edit it. I usually don't. YouTube just automatically puts the live stream up and makes it available pretty quickly after the show is over with. So it'll be up. All I really have to do is go in and add a couple of tags and maybe an outro clip. Or something like that that's got my social media stuff on it. But it'll be available on my channel. And it's actually, I've got a playlist that appears on the front page of my channel that's called The John Henry Show. And so this video will be on there. Thanks. I'm glad you like the green screen. I had this up. If you watched the show on Saturday, I had the green screen up behind me, and I didn't think it was going to work. And I had this whole thing where I was going to show everybody, like, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. And this is one of those little things that a lot of people don't understand how difficult it is and what it takes to make it happen. And then, I had tried this setup before, right? It's just all it is a green flannel blanket sitting behind me, right? I can pull it forward a little bit. You'll be able to see it. I had set this up before and it wouldn't work and it wouldn't work and it wouldn't work. And then I set it up the other day to test it. And it worked. So the picture that you see behind me, that is Saddleback Mountain on the Wasatch Front in Salt Lake City, Utah, where I spent a lot of time, where I lived for 4 years. Beautiful, beautiful country. Lots of great people out there. The bigger culture is pretty screwed up, but I met lots of really cool people out there and lots of just really great friends that I'll hopefully have for the rest of my life. So Yeah, we've got that going on. And, you know, I'm adding the little bells and whistles. I've said before that I really do want to focus more on substance than style. But at the same time, you know, it's just inevitable if people sit here looking and, you know, somebody scrolls by and they see something that looks like it doesn't have, you know, a bunch of money put into it, then they go, oh, well, this guy must not know what he's talking about. He must be stupid. So I have to accede to that a little bit. And plus, I actually like the work, you know, the technical aspect of making all this stuff work and making, you know, the sound of my microphone good and all that other stuff is work that I actually enjoy doing. It's one of those things that I have a good time at. So, my apologies to everyone. Well, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to apologize for being angry because, quite frankly, man, if you're not angry, I'm not sure what you're looking at. How do you not be angry anymore? How do you not be angry when you look around? How do you not be angry when you look at people who you respect and who you take as intelligent? And they're so wrapped up in their own egos that they're willing to just throw you overboard immediately because you put forth a cogent argument in support of a political candidate that you support. You know, I can't be sorry anymore about losing my temper at this nonsense because this is ridiculous, you know? And like the popular meme says, for those of you who are believers, you know, when you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? It's always a good idea to remember that fashioning a whip out of rawhide and turning tables over while you beat people with it is an option that's on the table. So today, you know, that's kind of where my head is at. And honestly, you know what? I share that space with some really great people that I admire a lot. People like George Carlin and Bill Hicks and a lot of other people who were, you know, iconoclasts. I'm not going to be sorry that I'm angry because I've got every reason to be. I've got every reason to be. And so do you. You should be apologizing to me for not being angry. Because I've been asking you to be angry. For most of my life, I've been asking to be angry at what has happened to me for most of my life. Because what's been happening to me for most of my life is what's starting to happen to all of you now. So, with that thought, we're going to wrap it up and get the hell on out of here. Thank you very much. I see Chris and I see my old friend first name, last name that have dropped in. It looks like they've been with us for the whole show. Sorry I was a little more interactive when I get off on a tear like that. I tend to be focused on that. But yeah, the website, johnhenry.us. Stop by Facebook at facebook.com/johnhenryus. And, of course, the big page. I loved to wake up in the morning when Barack Obama was president. You can find me on Twitter at johnhenry_us. On YouTube right here at youtube.com/johnhenryus. I've got fundraising, paypal.me/johnhenryus. That is still where I'm taking cash donations, contributions for right now. I don't want to say donations, because I'm not a nonprofit, but contributions at paypal.me/johnhenryus and the Patreon at patreon.com/johnhenry. That should be up within the next 24 hours. I'm just now wrapping up defining some rewards and things like that and getting some of the mechanicals in place. And so that should be ready to roll. I am podcasting, distributing right now through Apple Podcasts, through Spotify, through TuneIn, through Stitcher. All of those links you can find at johnhenry.us as well. Like, share, subscribe, raise the flag. Whatever you've got to do, folks. Once again, I really do hate this self-promoting shit, but you want independent media, you want independent voices, you want people who are going to speak truth to power and not flinch. You are looking at him, okay? And make no mistake about it, you know, this John Henry thing, that's not a name I made up. That's my given name I've been carrying around all my life. Okay, the real American legend of John Henry is something that has always resonated with me. Here's this man, and he is going to take you, and he is going to show you that he can do it, and he can do it better than the machine, because the machine has no soul, and the machine has no heart, and I do. So I'm out here putting my heart and soul into what I do, to make a better world for all of us, I need you to put a little heart and soul into spreading the word, bringing the audience in, and hopefully, you know, we can create something here other than just me sitting here screaming at a camera. So thank you very much. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday evening, and I will be back tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And let me find my button. I always do that. I should be ready to kill this. See, this is again, the downside of not having a producer. I should have somebody standing over there in a sound booth somewhere that can push that button and fade me out gracefully. But no. All right, I'm going to hit the stop button, guys. Thanks a lot. Hey there, everybody. It's John Henry from johnhenry.us. Thank you for watching and stopping by my YouTube channel. Like the sign says, I am independent media, so I don't have a big PAC or an organization or a nonprofit that is behind me supporting this work. It is all me and it is all you. So if you can help out, you can see the information here at the bottom of the screen that links to my various fundraising and crowdfunding sources, as well as the Facebook page and the Twitter and my website. Share it around, spread it around, and thank you very much once again for watching. Have a great day.